If you have a Bible this morning, please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we read from verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? That he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Our subject this morning is partnership. And I really sense that the message I'm bringing is it just confirms, I believe, the direction of travel you're on as a church here. Partnership. Last week I was speaking in the church where I had the privilege of being there. It was my first pastorate. That's in Potlanfraith in Sarawi Valley. And God is blessing there, very much like here, that is running out of space. It's always a good, exciting place to be in, and it's thrilling to be there, ministering there. We were there as pastor for 13 and a half years. We started when I was 23, so you can see it's a little while ago. But when we were there, a couple visited us, a missionary couple. This missionary couple had served in Central Africa, then they moved to Nairobi. I think the next slide has got a picture of Nairobi. Yeah. They moved to Nairobi and they took on a church there. And it had been a large church, but things had gone wrong. It was down to a couple of hundred. And the people said to the man, to Mervyn, they said, preach against these different factions, these different groups that are trying to hurt our church. He said, no, I won't do that. He said, if a child has a razor blade in his hand, you don't go and try and pull the razor blade out of his hand, but rather you blow up a beautiful balloon and the child will just let go of what is in his hand and reach out for the balloon. He says, I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm going to lift up Jesus. And we're going to focus on Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And I believe God's just going to bless and move in this church. Well, God did. That church went from a couple of hundred to multiple thousands. Another thing that they began to concentrate upon as a church, following the scripture advice in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, where it says, pray for those who lead you, for kings and those in authority. They began to pray for the government of Kenya. They began to pray for their president. At that time was a man called Daniel Arap Moi. And they prayed. And they kept praying. Every week they prayed and they prayed. And then one day, as the church was growing into multiple thousands, who turned up at their church? Who came in with his presidential entourage? The president of Kenya started attending their church. That just gives you a bit of context. Because then afterwards, I said to them, to Mervyn and Sheila, their names, I said, what would you say is the most important things in growing a church? And they said there are four things. Get these things right, and the church will grow. These are the four things. He said, prayer, preaching, partnership, and the place of the local church. Prayer, preaching, partnership, and the place of the local church. Now, prayer, yes, I understood prayer to some degree. Jesus Christ went from one place of prayer to another place of prayer, and in between worked miracles and taught with authority. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to pray, we need to pray. And so I recognize the priority of prayer. I recognize the importance of preaching. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. And so I understood from many things in Scripture that we had to get people into the word, preach the word. The place of the local church. I understood that too, to some degree. Jesus talked about the church on three occasions. One was the church universal, and the two others were the local church. The local church, if you had to define it, is this. It's the local representation of the body of Christ in any given community, village, town, city, wherever. The local representation of the body of Christ. Demonstrating the love and the life of Jesus to that community. That's local church. And so I saw the importance of that. But the one word I had to really think about was the word partnership. He put a big emphasis on partnership. I thought, well, what did he have in mind? What is he thinking about this word partnership? And so I began to look at it and think about it. And then I began to see that there are three things we need to think about in partnership. Partnership with the Holy Spirit. Partnership with God the Father in prayer. And partnership with each other. Partnership. So let's look at those three areas. Partnership with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Make no mistake, we can't manage without him. When Jesus gave his, what we call the Great Commission, you read it in Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We know that. I'm guessing that those disciples were keen. Let's go. Let's start. When can we start? Let's do it. But then in Luke's account, he says, but, he says, that's the commission. But wait, wait until you're endued, until you're clothed with power from on high. Luke 24, 49. Wait until you're endued with power from on high. Into the Acts of the Apostles, which is continuation, Luke wrote both. He says, you shall receive, in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. He says, wait. And so they waited. Acts 2, they were praising, they were praying, they were worshiping, they were expectant. Those are the conditions to receive the Holy Spirit, by the way. They were just waiting on God and just rejoicing in God. And on the day of Pentecost, we all know what happened. The Holy Spirit came. There's a sound of rushing wind. There were tongues of fire. Oh, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Began speaking languages they'd never learned by the power of the Spirit. Wow, what an amazing day. They were empowered. Peter, who'd been a fear-filled man before, he'd let Jesus down before. But now, the same Peter becomes full of the Spirit, becomes a fire-filled messenger, who begins to share with the crowds who were drawn by the sound of the Lord. There was something going on and they were drawn. People always are when there's a sound of the Lord. There's part of us that responds to something deep inside. We think, I must know. There are people out there today who have been drawn, I believe, even to a place like this. And Peter preached. And wow, that day 3,000 people came to Christ. The church had begun. Not in the power of human resource, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. When Peter finished his message, he said, repent, turn from where you're going, be baptized, believe in Jesus, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this is for you, for your children, to those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's never been rescinded. The Holy Spirit is here. He's available. As you trace the Acts, in Acts chapter 8, the persecution began. Philip goes to Samaria. One of the deacon leaders in the church went to Samaria and began to preach Jesus. And people were getting saved and healed and baptized in water. But when the apostles at Jerusalem heard about it, they immediately sent Peter and John to go down, you read it in Acts chapter 8, to go and pray with the new converts. What for? To receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, Peter, a bit reluctantly, ends up going to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman soldier, centurion, and his family, his household, his staff, his servants are all there. And they're really expecting. And Peter preaches and shares a message, and they receive the message. And as he's preaching, the Holy Spirit comes upon the Gentiles. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. How did they know? Because there was obviously must have been a real sense of God's presence, but they also spoke with other languages too. Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul. This is about 20 years after Pentecost. The Apostle Paul arrives at Ephesus, the town of Ephesus. He found some people who said they're believers. And he says to them this important question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we don't know about that. And so he teaches them, gets them baptized in water, and then lays hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. I hope you see there's a pattern here. The early church felt it was imperative, felt it was important that everyone should be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need him. We cannot manage without him. You know, it's interesting to read what Jesus said himself to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. John 14 and verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Some Bible versions will say counselor or comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Wow, isn't that powerful? When the Holy Spirit comes, he's the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when he comes, it's just like having Jesus with us. How good is that? Yeah, a lot of people say, oh, I'd like to have been there when Jesus was there. I'd like to have walked where he walked and saw those things and been with him. Well, he's with you. He can be with you. Hallelujah. John 15 and verse 26, it says there, and when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. He's speaking to his disciples. He says, you'll know. You'll know. Because you think this is just like having Jesus with us. He will testify of me. And then one last reading. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Wow. Don't you recognize? Oh, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be hungry, thirsty. Those are the very words the Bible uses about our seeking him. Be hungry, be thirsty. We need him. Not just a one-off. We need him every day. In fact, Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled and be, the verb is be continually filled with the Spirit. How? Well, with, as you lift up your praise, as you lift up your worship, as you lift up your prayers, as you've got a heart full of expectancy, as you hunger, as you thirst. Wow, those are the conditions we can receive and keep on receiving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need him. We need him. In Romans 8, verse 1, it's Paul the Apostle says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. If we try and live in the flesh, we just become religious, and that's boring, that's dull, and all the rest of it. But oh, life in the Spirit. Notice the language. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in step with him. We walk in partnership with him. We talk to him. We say, Holy Spirit, guide me, help me, be with me today. Holy Spirit, show me. You know, my own prayer life, one of the things I include in my praying every day, the Bible refers to the sevenfold Spirit of God. It's talking about the seven attributes of God, the Holy Spirit. Number one, he's the Spirit. He's the sovereign Lord. He's not a plaything. He's the sovereign Lord. He's the Spirit of wisdom. I say, Lord, give me wisdom. He's the Spirit of revelation. The Spirit of understanding. Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. I say, Lord, help me to understand you. Help me understand your word. Help me to understand your will. Help me to understand people. Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of counsel. The Greek word is paraclete, the one who comes alongside us. Oh, Holy Spirit, counsel me, guide me, help me. He's the Spirit of power. I say, empower me. He's the Spirit of revelation. Oh, I said, Lord, I want to know you and make you known. Lord, touch my mind, touch my eyes, I might see as you see. Oh, my ears might hear as you hear. I might hear the cries of the broken. Touch my mouth to speak your words, words that encourage and bless. Oh, Lord, touch my heart filled with compassion. Touch my hands to reach out and minister love and your power and blessing. Touch my feet wherever I go. I'll share your good news. I've gone through it quickly, but I make that part of my daily praying. The Spirit of the Lord. We need to develop a relationship, a partnership with the Spirit of the Lord. Not just individually, but church as well. We need, wasn't it great this morning? Those little moments when you see the Spirit breaking in and when there's a worship song, that hallelujah, and then Pastor Luke talks about Revelation 19, the Lord our God, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And if you've got problems and difficulty, you know, God's just ministering to his people. So important that in our times of worship and leading and speaking, we give room and we're open to him. You know, sadly, in some churches, the only mention of the Holy Spirit is in what we call the benediction. It's the scripture, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Now, when I say this, it doesn't mean you can all get up and go home. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And tragically, in some places, that's the only mention of the Holy Spirit. But just unpack that for a second. I've got this sense that we should perhaps develop a new tradition of having that at the beginning of our service. Say, God, we come to you because of your grace. Oh, your undeserved love and kindness. Wow, we could dwell on that. Lord, we come to you because of your love, the love of God that knows no end. The love of God that reaches out to us wherever we are, wherever we come from. And all in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need you. Break in. Oh, bring your life, bring your power, bring healing. Minister today. Amen. Do you agree with me? We'll have a vote on, shall we? Bring the benediction to the beginning of the service. Partnership with the Holy Spirit is critical. Partnership with God in prayer. Wow. Jesus, I've already mentioned about him going from one place of prayer to another place of prayer. But when he was in prayer, he spent time just listening to the Father. He said on more than one occasion, I do what the Father tells me to do. I want you to notice that. Because when he teaches us the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, which is meant to be a skeleton prayer we build our praying upon, he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then notice this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, do you notice the words there? God is looking for a people. God knows what he wants to do. God isn't caught by surprise by events. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He knows what he wants to do, his perfect will in heaven. What he's looking for are a people here on earth who will partner with him and pray what his will is in heaven, what the Father's will is, pray it into being here on earth. Do you get that? As I said, we see it with Jesus. He would seek the Father. Father, what is your heart? What do you want? I will do what you say. We need to seek the will of the Father. We need to seek the perfect will of heaven. And then in partnership with heaven, pray it into being here on earth. Wow. If we get hold of that, prayer is going to move to another level altogether. The thing is, you say, well, it's great preaching maybe, but how do you actually do that? We have burdens, we have needs, we have problems in our individual lives. Might be sickness, might be other things. As a church, we have situations and things in our community, in our nation. So how do we do that? Well, here's some thoughts. Yes, God wants us to come and say, Lord, here's the situation. We're spending time with him in my own life, sickness, whatever, or the community, or the church, or the nation. And we present it. We have a burden. We have a need. We have something that's on our heart. We say, God, my Father, he's Abba Father, don't forget. We can come to him and call him Father. And say, Father, here is the situation. I present it to you. Then, that's good to get that far. But what we need to do next is say, now, Father, what do you say about it? What do you say about it? Isn't that what you do if you've got a good earthly father? Your problem and difficulty. Dad, what do you think about it? Isn't that a natural thing for people to do? In good, normal relationship? Well, we've got a Father in heaven who's perfect. And so we say, hey, Father, here's the situation. Show me, what do you think about it? What's your word? What's your will on this matter? Huh. You say, how do you get to know that? Well, you spend time in his presence. You see, you present the thing. Now I say, Lord, I'm just going to wait before you and just wait upon him and worship him. And let your heart begin to beat with the heartbeat of God. Begin to then open the scriptures prayerfully. Wow, this word isn't an ordinary book, it's God breathed. Because it's God breathed, expect it to speak to you. expected to come alive to you. As you read the scriptures, you've come with this burden, you come with this thing. As you're reading the scriptures, the Holy Spirit speak to me. Oh, and verse comes alive. The promise of God comes alive. God begins to speak in that situation. You think, wow. And then you begin to pray over that word. God's will has been revealed through his word. Then you begin to pray. You've got something very powerful now to pray, because you're lining up with heaven and you're praying God's will in heaven be done on earth. What a partnership is this? We can now pray, and you can pray powerfully because you've got the word. You say, Lord, it's your word. You can fast and pray with some purpose. You've got the word, and that's so exciting. That makes prayer become alive and meaningful and wow. When you sense God is answering, you can turn even the praying into praise. Say, thank you, Lord. This is powerful. Powerful. And we could spend a sermon just talking on this because it's so powerful. But we need to do it. Partnership with God in prayer. If you want a Bible example, then the book of Habakkuk. It's a great example. Habakkuk chapter 1 had a burden. He didn't like the way the nation was. So he presented to God and said, God, this nation's in a mess. And God answered his prayer. Aren't you glad God answers prayer? Well, God answered Habakkuk's prayer. And he says, Habakkuk, things are going to get worse. Have you ever prayed and things got worse? Or is it just me? Things got worse. And he says, God. So he put a complaint into heaven. Did you know you could put a complaint into heaven? You know, that's a big thing these days. Have a complaints department. You know, have a policy for complaints. Even churches say, have a complaints procedure. Yeah, not going too much down that road, but Habakkuk complained. I just waited on God. So I will wait. See, that's the important thing. He waited. And then God says to him, write this down, Habakkuk. It's good when God speaks, when God gives you a verse, when God tells you something, write it down. Because we forget, or it's good to have it written down. Journal it, write it down. He says, write it down, Habakkuk. Then Habakkuk chapter 2, there's a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. That's wonderful. I guess what you're up to. Thank you very, very much. Thing is, because I'm clumsy, I'm going to knock it over. That's what's happening. Put it on there. I'm going to go in the electrics. Okay. Yeah, so the verse in Habakkuk chapter 2. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk thought, okay, God, there's lots of verses, but that one, wow. Lord, if all this is happening, because you've got a plan and purpose, and the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You get to Habakkuk 3, it's called Habakkuk's Prayer. He can now pray. He says, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, there are no fruits on the vine, though the olive fails, the cattle be not in the stall, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. That's what God wants to bring us to. Partnership with him in prayer. And then finally, partnership with each other. Partnership with the Holy Spirit. Partnership in prayer. Partnership with each other. I'm not going to reread Ephesians chapter 4 we read at the beginning, but just want to bring out two verses that I believe need our attention. First of all, Ephesians 4, verse 12. Well, I'll just read verse 11. And he that's the risen, ascended Jesus, himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you know, for a long, long time, probably centuries in this country, in the West, We have read that scripture and somehow thought, yeah, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, they do the work of the ministry. And so we get called ministers. Simon Rob Baldwin, a minister. Luke Morgan, a minister. And so we do that. But actually, doesn't matter if you've got NLT, NIV, this is New King James I'm using, whatever version you're using, I think they all say the same. Who does the work of the ministry? Well, you're not replying because you're thinking, wow, the saints. The saints, the reverends, are here in front of me. Not that we need to give people names. We do the work of the ministry together. The saints do the work of the ministry. So then what are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? What do? They equip the saints. They equip the saints. So instead of seeing an apostle, oh, that's a super mega Christian, you know, an apostle. No, it's not. They just mean sent one. People have glamorized apostles, and they shouldn't have. They just mean sent one. Apostle teaches you how to reach your individual world for Jesus. An apostle teaches you how to disciple the people in that world. That's very exciting. When we all become disciple makers, when we're all trained to be disciple makers, wow, that's what Jesus said, go make disciples. We can all begin to make disciples in our respective world, whether it's work or community or school, college, wherever it is. That's what the apostles do. Prophets. Wow, we like to have a prophet, you know, thus says the Lord. And hang on, a prophet should be teaching us how to listen to God, how to pray, how to seek God, how to hear from God. Wow, we're all taught that. That's exciting. We're all equipped and we can hear from God. That'd be amazing. Evangelists. Wow, yeah, we need a big evangelist come in and preach the gospel, get loads saved, and then move on somewhere else. No, we need an evangelist who teaches us how to lead souls to Christ. How to speak to people the good news. How to engage with people. Lead them to Jesus. Wow. Wouldn't that be good? Pastors who teach us how to care and counsel and just minister and get alongside people and love people. Teachers who teach us how to open up the scripture so we can share the Bible and make the Bible simple for other people. Wow, if we're all equipped like that, wow, the church is going to be powerful. I hope we're seeing that this morning. Then verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body, the edifying of itself in love. The apostle here uses the analogy that the church is a body. Body. You know, we all want healthy bodies, or should aspire to having healthy bodies. And a healthy body, every part's moving, every part's involved. One part feels for another part. If you bang your thumb with a hammer, and the rest of the body, it all feels for it. If one part isn't so well, the other parts cover for it until it's better again. A body, it's a beautiful analogy. The Bible says when we become Christians by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body? We're immersed in the body. We're not just added on and all you have to do certain things to become part of. No, you become part of. You are an integral part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. But again, I don't think it's the case anymore here. If it ever was the case here, but in some places, it's just one part of the body is just working. Imagine it was my right hand. It's a disaster for me. Come left-handed. But it was just my right hand. Everybody says, oh, yeah, good right hand. Look at that. Fingers move, thumb moves, wrist. That's pretty good. But if that was the only part that was working, it wouldn't be long before you'd be feeling very, very sorry for me. You say, wow, you're extremely disabled. Because only one hand works. Nothing else works. In church life, it can't just be just a few. It's got to be the whole body. The whole body functioning and working together. Now, the different parts have different function. I'm not saying we could all be evangelists or all be this or that. But as we each discover, in fact, earlier in it says in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Everyone has got gifting and ability given by Christ. And as we begin to flow in that gifting as a body, then the body, everyone gets involved in witnessing, in praying, in evangelizing, in caring, in teaching, in hospitality, in administration, whatever. What happens when a church discovers that? Well, it says here in Ephesians 4, the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wow, growth. I believe you're experiencing that here. But to continue in that growth, every part, getting involved. Continue to grow, continue to grow. Partnership with the Holy Spirit. Partnership with God in prayer. Partnership with each other. That missionary over 40 years ago said there are four things that build a strong church: prayer, preaching, partnership, and the place of the local church. And I believe those same four things will build this church strong until Jesus comes. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we who were once so far from you, you brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. But more than that, you've made us your children. And even more than that, you want us to work in partnership with you. Thank you. You've given us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you afresh into our lives that we might work together in partnership. Oh, Father God, guide us, lead us. In our prayer life, help us, oh God, to discover your plan, what heaven's will is, what your word is, that we might pray it into being here on earth, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, help us, Lord, as church, as the body. You're the head, Lord. But help us as church to work together, every part doing its share, that this local church will be the witness of Jesus, the life and the love of Jesus into this community and beyond, to your glory. Amen.